time to go viral. I'm homicidal, I'm killing all my rivals. I'm the man, should I put that on the Bible? I Spotify my target, cause you know I got the title. Hey, I'm a Mac too. I told baby shake that ass like she Apple. She said it's real, so she got my name tattooed. House full, so I hit it in the back room. Baby said she need it now, peep the urgency. I want a little Kim before she had the surgery. Leg spread on that hardcore poster. She love twerking, she just do it for the coach. Big dog, bull master. Six tray Chevrolet, I'm classic. All these niggas mad at me, that's tragic. Your main bitch in the bed, that's graphic. Yeah, we about to go viral. Hey, hey, hey. We about to go viral.
What's the deal? What's the deal? What's the deal, viral gang? What's the word? We back at y'all with another one. As always, it's your host that do the most, Mr. Viral himself, aka the villain, because they hate me for my opinion. And I got the whole squad in the building. What's the word?
Yes, sir. What's happening? LBC Messiah the Great. Y'all know we're here to lead the way.
What's the deal, man? Kali the One. Tap in.
Oh, he done turned it down on the second take. One take two, man. Kali the One from up top, back in the building up north. Talk to him, man. Rich
shout out to all my, and shout out to all my light skin niggas out there, man. I'm doing it for y'all. Come on.
Trying to get that light skin team support.
I'm doing it for y'all.
Ruckus,
man.
Got him in his feeling. Ruckus. He said Ruckus is a colorist. Hey, but
that's crazy.
Hey, but check this out. If you're not an official Viral member, hit the subscribe button. Hit the like button. Leave a comment. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. Show us some love, because love is free. And before we even start this pod today, I want y'all to put an APB out in the streets. We looking for Pun and AD. We heard them call our names. They put the bat signal in the sky. They said our names. We popping up like Candyman. Tell them whatever they want to do, we can do it. Let's run it. And it's not even going to be close. We gonna show y'all the separation. It's not gonna be close. We not taking the light on them because they the homies. I'm not gonna break a sweat. I ain't even gonna take the glasses off. Messiah,
tell them what they wanna do, man. Line it up, each whatever way y'all trying to do it, whatever topic y'all wanna get on, however y'all wanna do it. And just set the date and time, and we gonna show up and hey, do what we do.
In the words of Loaded Lux, don't ever throw rocks at the sun. You can't reach it. You see how bright we shining? You're looking at the sun. Pause this video. Go outside. Pick up a rock. Throw it at the sun. See if you can touch it. AD and Pun, they the rocks. I don't care how hard you throw it, you're never coming close to the sun. So tap in, man, the viral way. But what's the word, fellas? There's a lot going on, man. We back. We had a chaotic episode yesterday. Hey, we had to have a viral way intervention, cuz.
We ain't intervent nothing. Nigga, fuck this nigga talking about. Hey, I told you, coach, this mad nigga was turnt. That's all it is, but it's all good.
Messiah had the 20v1.
Man, Messiah had 20v1. Came in off that good tequila and vodka. Yeah. He must have mixed something.
They hating on Shador. That's what that be. But yeah, man.
You powered up. Use for the people.
Okay, let's start with the Eagles, since he got that BS Eagles hat on. So as y'all all know, anything to do with Donald Trump and the community is going to be 50-50. Mainly, you're going to get backlash. So Eagles running back Saquon Barkley went out and went golfing with Trump. As you know, the Eagles won the Super Bowl. They did the White House visit, and a number of Eagles players did not attend, but the main names that you see floating in the media are the star players. Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. It's like 10 others, but those are the main ones that stuck out. Now, Kali, I think you were saying they had something about some scheduling issues. Really, if you wasn't rocking with Trump, that's all you had to do was say, hey, I don't identify with Trump. I'm not rocking with him. I don't care if Saquon went golfing with him. I'm not showing up. But the whole my scheduling and this and that, come on, bro. Y'all know what this is. You've been in this league long enough. You know when you win the Super Bowl. You know when you're going to the White House. What else could you have possibly scheduled that day? What you think about it? Because you got the BS on right now. Your team on some other shit.
For one, stop all the Eagle slander, girl. Keep the Eagle shit. We're going to keep that in-house, even though y'all made it about all this other stuff. I don't really care about nothing about them going to the White House or nothing. Even speaking on it now, what was the terms of it? Did they ask Jalen his opinion? Because he don't usually just jump out and say shit unless somebody asks him a question about it. So that's context matters in a sense. Now, Saquon going It doesn't change that. It doesn't affect who he is, in my opinion. He chose to go. Some niggas didn't go. That's really the end of that.
And remember, he played golf with Obama, too. So he played golf with a Democratic president. He played golf with a Republican president. And so you can't really say he's being biased to one side or not. Like, that's what the fans are trying to do, make it seem like he's a Trump supporter because he went there and, you know, played golf with Trump and went on the jet. But he did the same shit with Obama. So I think bro is just an athlete, right? Like, at the end of the day, a lot of them are going to go to the White House. They're not going to pass up on an opportunity, or they're not going to pass up on an opportunity to, you know, form a connection with the president. So at the end of the day, I don't think it's that serious. And I wish we would stop even putting stock in what niggas do outside of the sport outside that much. Like, it's like, all right, not saying, you know what I mean, you can't be a voice and you can't have a way about you that matters outside of sports. But if you just going to kick it with somebody, we shouldn't be up in arms about that, calling niggas wives and relationships out. To me, that's extra.
Bro, even if he was a Trump supporter, so what? Y'all got to start learning to separate the man from the politics. Everybody does not think like you. Everybody does not identify with the way of living that you identify with. If he identifies with the Republican mindset, that's fine. You can still be a fan of the man. He's not saying, oh, if you identify with the Democrats, don't support me as a fan. Who gives a fuck? At the end of the day, you really don't have no power or no say-so anyways. You're playing a video game, but your controller's not really plugged up. You're pushing hella buttons thinking you're making moves. You're not making shit. The billionaires, the millionaires, and even more important than them, the bankers, the Zionists, you go down every rabbit hole you want, the tiny hats, however you want to describe it, they're the ones that's in the game setting the rules of the game. They got the cheat codes. So all of y'all getting mad and upset because somebody went and played golf, or this person went to the White House and this person didn't. As a black man, I'm popping up at the White House regardless. Like, y'all tweak it. The White House, slaves built that. I'm popping up. And I'm in there tripping. I'm in there going ham. YN status.
Especially for an event.
I think it's crazy.
I think that was the key point that you just hit, is somebody's political views about separating that. And what Kali said is just they're football players. How are y'all that mad about somebody choosing to go or not go anyway? Like, regardless of what they felt about the president, if they liked him, it's people. You're not going to like everything somebody does or do. So they be trying to hold. This is what we talk about, separating the celebrities and stuff like that. Y'all hold these niggas too much of a high horse. They're football athletes. That's it. Eagle gang, man. That's what it is.
Nah, and it's even on the flip side of that, right? You got Jalen Hurts talking about, I got scheduling issues. Where to me, it's like I feel like he's only saying that because he doesn't want to offend the other side of the political game, which is people who are Trump supporters. So you at a point where if you go with him, you getting shed on. If you don't go with him, you getting shed on. So everybody's just hypersensitive at this point. You need to chill the fuck out.
I don't know why he's showing this bullshit sign.
Dear Mr. President, shout out to the White House. Understand, when we win this year, it ain't going to be no scheduling issues. We popping up. I might pop up. We in there. You ain't got to worry about it. I'm telling you now. Get mad. Get your outrage ready. When the Rams win the Super Bowl, because we are winning. Shout out to Devontae Adams. We're going to get you your ring, gang. Don't even trip. We're going to be at the White House, bro. So y'all might as well get y'all rage, get y'all tweets ready, your Instagram posts. Devontae sold out. No, get it ready. We in there. Rams Nation. Eagle K.
Rams ain't doing a damn thing.
Eagle K.
We whistling on the star right now.
Drop a bomb on them niggas. We cooking bird this year.
It's crazy. I feel like it was a point in time where niggas didn't even, if you won a Super Bowl or whatever, you went. Like, it wasn't even on some, like, it's just something else you're supposed to go do. It was just a stop on a tour. Next, you go to the festival or to your celebration and you do it. Now it's looked at as more of a political statement, where back then I don't feel like it was looked at like that.
But bro, even then, y'all gonna get off Jalen Hurts, because at the end of the day, if Cuz said his scheduling was fucked up, then his scheduling is fucked up in a sense as, nigga, my schedule and my life is more important than me taking a trip to appease y'all. It don't matter. Yeah, I'm going to the White House. So what? Nigga, yeah, that's Jalen Hurts. Nigga, I just won a Super Bowl MVP. Nigga, I don't need to be at the White House. Nigga, the White House will show up to me.
Diamonds so, dancing, all type of hey, shit. Yeah.
So, fuck niggas talking about. I don't give a damn what you talking about.
Y'all look at it, he got his cape on right now.
Nah, it don't matter. Y'all
take
be
your act, cape
y'all
off.
Y'all be acting like the White House is some super thing that we need to be doing when half the motherfuckers in there don't even care about the people anyway.
Yeah,
these the same people that be out here putting these damn, coming up with these, what's the stuff called? The shots and everything else to tear up your food. And they coming up with all this and approving it. And y'all be wanting to quit to huck and jive and run up there, nigga. So
that's what
what
I'm saying. No, I feel like that's why it's so crazy today.
Eagle Bias,
what is it, bro? He's just a real life hater. He said, I'm going to be up there. I'm running to the White House. He ain't going to get him easy. Like,
I just think, like I said, back in the day, if you won, everybody went. And if somebody didn't go, you probably didn't even know about it.
It wasn't a thing back in the day. Yeah. Like, it wasn't even talked about. It was just automatic. We go into the White House, and then we go into Disneyland. And we turning up. That's it. It wasn't all this adding politics to the game. Stop trying to put politics in the game. It's the game. Enjoy the game. Play your fantasy football. Make your bets. And enjoy.
As crazy as that sounds, that's kind of what killed the NBA, too. Putting too much politics in the game. I hate to say it, but a lot of people didn't. Not that we don't want niggas to, again, speak for our people, make a statement. But when you try to surround the entertainment around that, that's not what we come in here for. We come in to see people play sports at the end of the day.
Nah, that's facts. And I feel like that's how they ruined a lot of the stuff we talked about with the sports centers and stuff like that. It was like, y'all making it more about their personal life than actually what they're doing in the game. Like, they come on Sports Center and talk about everything they're doing outside of the sports. So it's like, it don't make no sense to me at this point.
Yeah, I don't know where we took a turn with the politics. We could, because this is long before Kaepernick. I want to say around the time Iverson was coming, dressed like a YN, and they switched up the dress code. It's been downhill ever since. They took the individuality out of sports. They tried to have everybody be exactly the same, and then slowly but surely, politics started coming in. Now, who does this player identify? I don't give a damn. Can he dunk? Can he catch? Can he throw? Is he scoring for my team? That's it. That's all.
You even had the Fab Five. You know what I mean? With what's his name? Jalen Green, I think. He's a sportscaster now. Michigan, when they was wearing the baggy shorts and all of that, they wasn't fucking with that either. They got political in college. So it's been going on, but I think it's increased over time to the point where it's like, damn, it's just in everything you see when it comes to sports and everything in general, and it's taking the fun out of it.
What they tell you, separate the politics and the religion, because it ruins everything, because everybody going to pick a side and it's going to turn into a battle. Let's make sports great again. I don't even really watch it like that. But it's out of control, man. It's really out of control. Y'all are letting politics ruin your life. It's cool to be tapped in and know what's going on in your community, get involved, all of that. But the madness that I seen surrounding this last campaign with daughters going online, condemning their fathers and revoking their fathers for being Trump supporters. I seen sons revoking their moms and just cutting off the entire family for a politician that wouldn't spit on them. If they was on fire to put them out, wouldn't piss on them. You're condemning and revoking your family, your blood, for politicians. That's when you know you're in too deep.
Nigga done took you need care to of you for 18 years.
That's crazy. Nigga done sacrificed his life for your life, and you just turned it off. Y'all ever seen Black Mirror? When you can block people in real life?
Yeah, that was
go
crazy.
Watch Black Mirror. That's what people were doing over the political campaign, over this presidential run. It was blocking their family in real life.
What episode was that?
I forget. That's in the
earlier seasons.
That's
in the earlier seasons, though.
It is.
Yeah, it's like the first season, I believe. Like before, you block people and you can't hear them.
You can't see them. They like
you
a
can't
blob.
See them. They just turn into a blob.
Yeah.
So what happened is
this, that's crazy.
So you know, like the PDF files, how they got the red dot on the map?
Yep.
They get blocked for life from the world. So you are now invisible from the world. They don't throw you in jail. They don't do nothing. They block the entire world and you're red. So the dot that's on the map, that's red, you're red. So as you walking in the streets, all you see is static, but they're people and they see you as a red dot, a red blob, and they like getting out your way.
Yeah,
nobody want to give you service at the store. People throwing rocks and shit at you in the street. So that's your reality for the rest of your life. That's actually a great idea.
That's Black Mirror back in the day before the U.S. got a hold of it. Now we got Issa Rae and all type of shit on there.
Oh, yeah. I'm not caught up yet. I'm still on season one.
Yeah, that's back in the day.
I tried to watch one of them new episodes. It was trash.
Yeah, you got to watch the older ones. You got to watch the older ones.
Hey, so as far as the music business goes, let's talk a little music. Your boy Ab Soul is sounding like a disgruntled employee. Now, he's been lashing out a couple times during this Kendrick run. So this latest tweet he put out, he says, so according to the numbers and the analytics or whatever the fuck, a tour for me has yet to be finalized. Soul Burger dropped last November. I'm not pointing any fingers, but damn, I feel like that was some of my best work. Something's in the water for sure. This feels similar to the end of physical distribution, which ultimately resulted in the fall of my family-owned record store, Magic Disc Music. I suppose I say all this to apologize for the delay to anyone who anticipates seeing it performed live. I do hope to see you soon. Is there trouble in paradise? Are they putting all their eggs in Kendrick's basket and ignoring everybody else?
I mean,
because he ain't even TDE no more. Kendrick ain't TDE no more. But they're still repping Kendrick as if he's TDE, and the artists that are actually TDE, I mean, they're lashing out right now.
They got Dochi too. Right? Yeah, so it's like that's where a lot of their attention is going as well. I mean, multiple artists, I said this on multiple episodes, have had times where they felt a certain way about Top and Punch, maybe, you know, limiting when they can drop, how long between their drops. Because Scissors came out and said something. Reason said something. Isaiah Rashad. Ab Soul. So there's been multiple people who have came out in TD and been like, man, I gotta wait two years in between an album drop, or I'm not going on a tour, or whatever the case is. But I think they just have a strategic way they want to do it. And if we keeping it 100, I don't know if Ab Soul at this point in time is garnishing enough fanfare, enough attention to go on a tour at this point in time. In my opinion, off of Soul Burger, I liked a good amount of songs off there, but I just don't know if at this point in his career, if people are going out to see him. And then also with bigger acts like Dochi and things like that, and the way touring is at this point, it's just a lot of money that got to go into it. It could be on some logistics side as well.
I believe this is where sometimes where emotional intelligence needs to come into play, because he can feel a way and he needs to elaborate and really see the real about what he's feeling and the things that's going on. So what I'm getting at to say is, you might feel like this was your best project, but it might not be hitting like you think it is. So you're overly mad about something, and it's not really that. Like, I don't know too many people that's really just saying I'm bumping Ab Soul. And I'm just not a knock to say he's an artist that's not good. He's good if you appreciate the music to that level of art. But like you were just saying, his attention and to go mainstream is not necessarily what he expects it to be, or you might be comparing too much to other people in your mind, and that type of thing can start to fuck with you, especially when you're on a label. And this is very important as artists to start getting to a point where you use labels maybe just for distribution and marketing. Other than that, you giving too many people control over your life and what you choose to do. You can't even go on tour because you're waiting, I'm assuming, behind the label to push you to have the tour. Stay independent and create your own lane to be able to do that yourself. I would believe you should head that route at this point.
Bro, this reminds me of the Cannabis disaster battle. When Cannabis came and thought he was spitting fire, the crowd was looking at him like, what the fuck is he talking about? He wind up lashing out. I'm up here spitting the best shit in the world. I got 75 pages in this motherfucker. And they really looking at cuz like, nigga, what the fuck? I feel like that's Ab Soul right now. He thinks he's spitting the best shit in the world. In his brain, like you said, this is my best album. And Dot is punching them sitting back like, we ain't can't sell no tickets off of this. And we're not selling out stadiums because Kendrick just broke his record for the highest grossing concert by a rapper in history with $9.449 million from 42,205 tickets sold at NGR Stadium in Houston. So Kendrick is out here breaking tour records every night. Sold out 90% of the GNX tour after getting all the criticism saying he can't sell out tours. You got Dochi over here going crazy. Whether you believe she's an industry plant or not, she's popping up everywhere doing everything. So where does Ab Soul fall in that? Because he's not even a mainstream artist like that. He's still more of the underground. He's not a Schoolboy Q. He's not a J-Rock. He's down here with the Daylights of the label. And Daylight, it was a battle rapper. Turn rapper. He's still trying to get his feet off the ground, but he's bunched in with that bottom core of TDE. He's not even, I'm just saying, like, he's one step over Ray Vaughn on the TDE totem pole. He's not going to sell out a stadium tour.
And TDE looks different now than it did 10, 12 years ago, right? Because 2012 when Absol, or 2011, I think he dropped Control System. That's when he was popping. But you also had TDE was fresh in a way on the scene. You had Habits and Contradictions by Schoolboy. You had Good Kid, Mad City, or Section 8. They all kind of came out.
It was on fire.
Yeah, at the same time where it was like, damn, what is this? You had SZA followed up a couple years later. So TDE now looks differently where, and in the way we listen to music and stream music as well, we not really checking into people, right? Like, you got to just see it or somebody got to bring it to you for you to be like, okay, this is cool. Where back then it was like, oh, who's Q's homeboy? Who's Kendrick's homeboy on TDE? This, he's in a picture with him. Let's go. Listen, and then we fuck with the music, where now it's like you don't have that label or industry backing that's going to put you right in front of somebody. They're not going to necessarily, the fans aren't going to flock to you. And that's why TDE, I think nowadays, looks different anyway, because they've put or pumped the money into Dolce, into Q. They still pumping it into Q here and there. And then, you know, they're always going to be on Kendrick's side. So I feel like that's just where the focus is. So that's where people are looking. But yeah, Absol hasn't, unfortunately, been relevant, to keep it 100, since 2012, 2013, if we're going to keep it 100.
And it's crazy because we in a, it's tough times for, I think, the type of personality he has, because we're in the land of the crash outs right now. He might have to crash out or something or do something else for to pick up that attention. And basically what I'm trying to get at is that people, now they look at you as you're more of a brand. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the attention and notoriety, they want to know who you are as a person more than appreciating your music. So it's like, it's not the opposite. It's like the good music will speak for itself, and then you start to appreciate the person. Now they want you to be, fall in love with a personality, and then start to go back and listen to your music. Because a lot of times now, it's like Absol is, he was supposed to be in the early 90s or something, like the way he is, I believe. Mm.
A Tribe Called Quest or something like
them
that.
Niggas back right. then.
Because realistically, he's not on the gram, to my knowledge. I don't see him in no viral videos. I don't see him in no viral interviews. He's not blogging, to my knowledge. I don't see it. So at this point, he's not even promoting himself. So the label could be looking at that going, hey, what are you doing to put yourself out there to make us want to book a tour? At all. You're not even promoting yourself. You don't always got to wait on the label. Yeah, the label got the budgets, but if you jump out there and show the label, and then they could look at the analytics and see the reaction from the people, shit, go down on Melrose, pull up a pop-up shop, book yourself at one of these local little, what they call them, little bars, man, that everybody be doing. You know what the hell I'm talking about. You know where Joe Budden used to be performing, cuz.
Oh, like a Soho or like
like a Soho Lounge or a House of Blues or something small that you could do yourself and probably take it out your own budget. And then show them like, look, man, I just sold this out. Now I'm buzzing on Instagram. I'm trending on Twitter. Then they looking like, okay, that's money that we got to get. But my question is, why is he not being attached to the Dolce's? Or I want to say Kendrick, but Kendrick's not TDE, but he is, because they still repping him like he's TDE, even though he left the label.
This is the importance of how you depict relationships and stuff like that, because if you are close to people like Kendrick and these other artists, not saying you just had to use them, but continue to go collab with people, do music. It don't even got to just be TDE. Outside of that, I never really hear too many people that's featuring them. Go start fucking with some of these YNs. Get on, do the Drake thing. You know what I'm saying? Jump on their wave. What I mean is, you know how the new artists will always catch them buzzes and Drake will hop on their song. Yeah. It actually look like Drake is making the song better, but Drake is still keeping himself relevant by hopping on their song. So I think he has to take pages out of other people's books and just really get out there. Like Twitter, I don't think that's the way to go about doing it. Like even if you would have made a video talking, that would have probably went more viral than your tweet did.
Because everybody would have posted that shave room. And matter of fact, you could pay them to post it.
I think too, he could revamp his story, right? Because if you go back and listen to Book of Soul, you know his story, the eyes, the disease he kind of had in the beginning, his girlfriend. He has a crazy story that if he got on the right maybe podcast or interview and, you know, went more into depth about it, he could revamp that and people would be more interested. But I think the reason why he's not attached so much to Dolce or Kendrick at this point is because, again, we're in a niche kind of era where if I'm paying for Dolce, I just want Dolce. I don't want somebody else that I don't know attached to it to a certain degree. Like the Pop Out, for instance, that was something that we enjoyed it, right? But a lot of people was like, who are these niggas? A lot of people felt that way. Who are these niggas? We're paying to come and see Kendrick, not necessarily other artists or lesser known artists from Los Angeles. So I think they kind of have to separate it at this point because people are coming and they're paying for, you know, only one person.
And man, I think he better pull a little mama, man, and just go to Kendrick concert and jump on stage, nigga, pull a Kanye and grab the mic and just start rapping one of his songs or something. He gonna have to do something, like bro said, that's not expected to get the attention. Going to Twitter and tweeting, they like, okay, now we're never booking a tour for this nigga.
Yeah, but sometimes, and it's one more thing, sometimes I think a lot of these dudes, like, they don't keep expanding, like, their versatility when it comes to the music. You might be stuck in a wave. It's like, that got you hot, and they got that feeling of whenever they got hot or got signed and stay on that wavelength instead of expanding your MC, your creativity. Go outside the box. Do different things. Stop. The flow right now probably is not working, or you're not gravitating that attention. Like, get on some track and start tweaking.
It's crazy because he's really, like, he's a diverse artist. Like, and that's what's so crazy about, like, I'm saying, we just in a different time now. Because back then, he was one of the most diverse artists on TDE. Like, in my opinion, it was him and Kendrick that were really diverse. Q was doing his thing. Everybody was doing their thing. But Kendrick and Soul could get in different bags, poetry, spoken word, the jazz beats. They was doing a lot of different things that other artists or on TDE weren't even doing. The singing shit, all of that. So I just think we're in a different time. Like you said, the young niggas where some of that different shit that we might have wanted to hear 5-10 years ago, niggas don't want
to
hear that.
That's basically all I'm trying to say. Drill and till, sometimes you might have to dumb it down because now you're out doing, or unless your core audience that still messes with you, but to get, like bro said, to the main more stream, I believe in my opinion, because he's a great artist, you have to dumb it down a little bit for people.
Or just switch it up. Maybe not dumb it down, but switch up your sound. That sound might be still hot to you, but the industry has moved on to new sounds, so you got to try shit out. But my question is to the rap gang, while Kendrick is on tour, the Drake and Kendrick beef buzz has died off. There's a void right now. And who's taking that void? Nobody. What are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? To all the rappers in the game, not just the West Coast rappers, because I've been gave my critiques on West Coast rap a long time ago. Niggas ain't listening, so I don't even care to even keep telling niggas. Rap in general, you had to be quiet for at least the last year. Kendrick's on tour. Drake, he's slowly fizzling back with his singles. There's still a void, though, that y'all could be popping in the limelight right now. What are y'all doing? Who's taking advantage of it? I seen Mozzie drop, but I'm not really seeing Mozzie out there promoting. And I'm banging his album every day. I'm listening to Mozzie every day. Selly Rue just dropped a hot album. I was just banging that the other day. I've been listening to that like the last 2 days, but I'm not seeing the promotion. What are y'all doing? Y'all have to get in people's faces. MTV jams don't exist. 106 in Park don't exist. You are the promo now. So if you're a rapper and you're not getting in people's faces, which you have to get on podcasts, bro. That's just what it is. If you're not going to vlog and blog from your personal page on some Joe Budden TV type shit, you have to go on these podcast runs when your music drops, because that's what we watch now. When we want to get updated on music, we go to our favorite pods. We jump through the circuits to see who's talking about what. If your name ain't getting brought up, you don't exist, even if you dropped your songs. That's just the era that we in now. Y'all better start waking y'all game up.
I don't know. I think there's some niggas that's just eating, right? Like they doing their shows. They getting some, you know, a little bit of chili off streaming content. What they getting. They content. They like, man, I'm not jumping on these podcasts, especially, you know, shit be messy or niggas want me to tell shit I don't want to tell. I think a lot of it is just the niggas who are eating, they don't even give a fuck. And then the niggas that aren't eating, they can't even afford to get a placement or get a popping song or get a post on something. So it's kind of like, it's that void. I actually think the Kendrick and Drake thing was a handout for a lot of artists for attention just on rap in general. But I don't think people are just not living up to the hype.
Nah, but what you said is facts, though. You damn near got to go through these podcasts now, because the way you promote people is a lot different now from back then. And people felt like they do enough by just uploading on social media. And then niggas see it as that. Like, you know what I mean? Go get some billboards or do a lot of different things. Go hit different cities and stuff like that. I would say, in my opinion, if you're a rapper, even just popping out and showing yourself, in other cities and other places where people wouldn't expect you. And I think, like you said, do some pop-up shops. Do some, come some places, give some shit away, have your music playing for people, and do different things to connect to the people. And I think that would make them want to support you more.
And stop thinking because you got on a song with a popular rapper that's it, and you finna take off.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Look at Doty 6. He was on GNX. That was the alley-oop. Now it's on you. A lot of people were expecting, hey, I'm on GNX. That's it. That's the end-all, be-all. Kendrick gave me the feature. Now y'all just treat me like a superstar. That didn't happen. Bro didn't take that buzz and run with it. And now he's on social media crashing out. Now, given he had a lot of family issues, I believe he lost a child. That's tragic. That's as tragic as it can get. So I can't be too hard on him because, I mean, I don't know what that feel like. I ain't lost a child. I could just imagine. So everybody's not mentally strong enough. So I hope bro can bounce back from that because right now he looking bad. He jumped out, said, fuck Kendrick. He's a bitch, blah, blah, blah.
That was
crazy. And then he apologized. You know what I'm saying? Then he apologized. But what I think that be, people look at the comments, and the comments will have you feeling a certain type of way. Like, bro, you was on GNX. Why you ain't on tour with Kendrick? Why you ain't? And then you get to start feeling resentment that didn't exist before you started reading comments. So people gotta stay
keep it solid.
Grounded. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, y'all just better fill this void, bro. That's all I'm saying. Seize the opportunity. Seize the day. It ain't no double XL. It ain't no Source Mag. You have to put feet on the ground. You can start food vlogging and play your damn music.
Anything, really.
I just see Mozzie jumping somebody else's music video, now he's circulating. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be doing all type of different stuff, bro. Look at EBK J-Bo, perfect example. He's taking his 15 minutes right now, and he's running with it. He's streaming with all the streamers. Because a lot of people be like, man, I'm not streaming with these nerds, bro. They running shit. The nerds have infiltrated and they're running shit.
Yeah.
The key to the top is through the nerds now. So if you're not linking up with the nerds, nigga, it's ugly. And speaking of nerds, one, I'm happy. I know this is going to sound messed up, but I'm happy he got this reality check. Now, this may be a prank. But as of right now, I'm going to treat it like it's real news because everybody is reporting on it like it's real news. Jack Doherty got robbed in L.A. for $300,000 worth of jewelry. So if you don't know who Jack Doherty is...
Got booked.
He's the white kid who goes around with his gigantic black security punking people. He's walking through the mall, bumping people, doing all type of crazy stuff to people. And then when people try to react, his security jumps in and he walks around like he's invincible. He's on streams talking down to people like they animals and peasants. Bro just been out of control because he has this security. Now, the security was there when he got booked. Now, whoever them hyenas was, they wasn't playing. They got the drop. And like these rappers tell you all the time, these security guards got families and lives too. They're not finna put their life on the line for you.
Where was he at?
This is, let me see. I think he was down, was he downtown L.A. or was down in Beverly Hills?
Niggas still coming to L.A. thinking shit. Bro, right here. Here.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Popular streamer Jack Doherty was robbed of his $300,000 chain on Rodeo Drive in broad daylight. Yeah. His bodyguard tries to explain how things went down. Apparently, the bodyguard was outnumbered. So they seen him. He was out here flossing. They hopped out. Got him. The bodyguard said, hey, my life is worth more than that $300,000 chain. And they got on.
Y'all remember, they was killing niggas on Fairfax for shoes. I'm like, this shit ain't sweet over here, man. Niggas, especially Jack Doherty, you better come with a box, a four square, nigga, of security guards.
Yeah, he looking like a walking lick. You come to LA crazy. Like that. Niggas didn't even have to know who he was or not. Niggas would have bounced out on him.
Nah, for sure. But he low-key brought that bad karma on himself as well, though, with the way he been acting. Like, I was just waiting for the day. I said, somebody is not going to care about these security guards one day. Because the shit he was doing, it didn't even make sense. Like, why are you fucking with regular people? Because you got security. They're not bulletproof, bro. When them shots start flying, you're not the president. They're not trained to take a bullet for you. They might actually use you as a damn shield. Rightfully so.
The shield is crazy.
You came out to L.A. thinking, oh, man, a Rico going on. The extorters is gone. No. It's the land of the hyenas.
But that's my security. You paid to protect me and potentially put your life on the line for me. So,
yeah. But you see, like you see said, five niggas with ski masks cop out. It's like, hold on.
Yeah, but if necessary, like you said, maybe having more security is what he should have did, and the security should have been ready. That's why you got to down there have security with that's already walking like they with the Brink truck people.
It's hard to, out. Yeah, it's hard to feel sorry for someone like that.
No, I'm not even feeling
who
sorry
does
because
the way
that,
he does. The energy, who does the things he do.
The energy he put out is what came back, and it came back times 10. It came back worse than that. So 9 times out of 10, he brought that upon himself.
Nigga was red as fuck, teary-eyed.
And look, y'all be out there, oh, L.A. sweet. L.A. ain't like that, man. I'm all right. You keep thinking it's sweet because you see the little moms down on Rodeo Drive coming from yoga class and hot yoga and Pilates and all the smoothie shops. Yeah, niggas is down there scouting. They'll throw an air tag on your shit real fast.
Yeah, and it don't even be that, too. People be living off and thinking everything, what they see on the internet is what's really going on out here. It get real out here real fast.
I mean, niggas just frequent those places too, right? Like, it's not only, them places are not only blocked off to just moms and white people. Like, you could be in the roof, Chris. You could be anywhere. It could get cracking and keep it 100 because we all frequent in those spots. So if you out there with $300 or $300,000 worth of jewelry on, yeah, you might get booked.
Listen, man. Only kings wore gold back in the day for a reason. Only kings was, if you can't protect was yours, you're not allowed to have it. So if you got a chain and you can't protect it, you're not allowed to have that chain. That's how the streets used to be. It used to be like that. If someone had a chain on, they was willing to drop something. Or they didn't have it on for long because somebody was coming to get it. And if you're not willing to drop something behind that chain or get dropped, it's over with. I'm just sorry. That's just always how it's been. So I'm not surprised when these niggas be getting yapped. Why would you go put $300,000 on your neck if you can't protect it yourself? Never mind security. I'm not waiting on security, bro. Security got their things. I need my own thing because securities can freeze up. I'm not freezing up for my own life. I can't trust this nigga. He might get on.
I don't understand. Maybe it was content. Like he probably wanted to get booked, and then when he did, he was like, oh, shit, this is real life. It wasn't going to be funny.
He's a streamer. This could be one big prank. They might come out in one big ha-ha-ha. This could be a viral moment. I don't know. But as of right now, it looked like he got booked. But I would not be surprised if it came back and this was one big prank.
Yeah. If he pranking for that, yeah, just to go viral, that's crazy work.
He done crazier shit to go viral than that. So, but they did catch him slipping one time coming out the gas station. He didn't have no security. He was walking to his Lamb. I think he had a Lambo or Aston Martin or something out there. And they damn near was finna get up on him. And you could see all that bravado that he usually had with the guards. That nigga was spooked. He hurried up and got to it. Hurried up and got in the car. Like, damn, bro, can we get a picture? That nigga was up out of there. So y'all got to start being more, I don't want to say humble, but showing more humility towards people. Because people will see you acting like that and like, I'm going to get him just because he acting like that.
I mean, treat people how you want to be treated. You know what I mean? If you don't want niggas to run down on you, and they still might anyway, but people probably are watching you and like you said, like, oh yeah, we're going to get him because he just think his shit don't stink.
You know, the average person, most of these people looking at it like, damn, you can't do nothing. I can't wear a watch because you can't afford one or do certain things. So that's how people going to really look at it on a grand scheme of things.
Like Papoose said, only kings wore gold. They wore it till they perished. If we don't cherish that, what the fuck we going to cherish? If you can't protect what's on your neck, don't put nothing on your neck, bro. I'm just sorry. That's what it is. What 50 said, niggas don't rob me. They know I'm down to die for my chain. I'm not saying die for your chain. I'm just saying you better be able to protect your shit, bro. It's like walking around with a dime piece. If you can't protect this beautiful woman, you ain't going to have her for long because this come with problems. That's what they don't tell you about the flip side of having nice things. Nice things brings hungry people, which brings problems. Because niggas see you as food. It's the reality that we live in, bro.
If they got the drop, that could happen to anybody. But like you said, his case in particular, that's 9 times out of 10, he brought that upon himself.
Yeah, you better put that switch on you or something. Push that button the next time they hop out 5 deep. It's going to be 5 down, nigga, man down. So let's dive back into this Shannon Sharp, Uncle Shay Shay situation. Mm. You weren't here the last couple episodes, so you didn't get to give your 3 cents. Now, he was on Nightcap with Ocho, and he officially said what I predicted. He's losing sponsorships. They don't want their products anywhere near him. No one wants to be within 100 feet of him right now. His name is hot. He's looking ugly. ESPN claimed, he claimed he was going back to ESPN, but old boy on the Joe Budden pod said he talked to two reps from ESPN, which said, he's not coming back regardless. It's over with. Mm-hmm. So this made me think of a speech Nancy Pelosi gave where she talked about how they use the media to smear people and basically ruin their image, whether they are guilty or not. So y'all, if y'all got your headphones, if you ain't heard it, I'm about to play the clip.
They don't want them to see that contrast, putting down hospitals and the rest of it. So they don't want them to see that contrast, so they focus on something else. And it's a diversionary tactic. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You demonize, and then we call it the wrap-up smear. If you want to talk politics, call it the wrap-up smear. You smear somebody with falsehoods and all the rest, and then you merchandise it. And then you write it, and they'll say, see, it's reported in the press that this, 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 and this. So they have that validation that the press reported the smear, and then it's called the wrap-up smear. Now I'm going to merchandise the press's report on the smear that we made. And it's a tactic, and it's self-evident. But I think I'm worth the trouble putting down.
A wrap-up smear. This is literally the Democratic Party letting you know we will smear your name in the media because we know once it hits the media, 90% of people are going to take that as facts because they believe what goes in the media is the truth. Then we're going to merchandise what we put in the media, meaning we're going to smear your name so many times, every news channel you turn on, your name is going to be mentioned in a negative light. The way they did Diddy with his indictment. The man ain't went to trial, nothing. Charges are actually being dropped. But what stuck? Diddy party, baby oil, sex trafficking. Nobody care about the charges getting dropped. Cassie, lawsuits, like all they hear, the Diddy parties, the baby oil, and the sex trafficking. That it was complete. So whether Diddy beats it or not, that's forever on his name. Now they're doing it to Shannon Sharp. They're pulling up every video they can on every blog site. I seen them pull up a video of Shannon doing the electric slide. And they say, yep, see, we should have known right here. I said, what the fuck? This is crazy. They pulling up every clip that he ever said anything about a female and somebody telling him to date his age and not his wage and using that against him. And everybody's retweeting it. They're making the cartoons. They're making the memes. Wrap-up smear.
They brought another video of him. And I don't know if y'all seen it. Trying to say he was doing something with that assistant. Mm-hmm. Like they had the audio and stuff. You know what I'm talking about? You heard
so,
it?
So they said that he was, it was like a joking manner. Like he was, I guess, wrestling with her or something like that at work in a joking manner.
No, I'm talking about the dude.
You're talking about the LGBT assistant that you take to the games. Exactly. Yeah, I saw that too.
And they started pulling all the receipts of how they've been together. Like, why would you be with a man just at this doing that? Like they start going in on him.
I just think Shannon Sharp, and I do believe in the wrap up smear, but I think some of these niggas help it happen, right? Like, you're 54 years old, you fucking around with a 19-year-old white girl that's an OnlyFans chick, and you're doing race play. To me, that's blackmail waiting to happen, right? You from Choctaw, Georgia, wherever the fuck you from, you should know stay away from that kind of bitch. And even just, you know, people could say, oh, whatever, she's 19. You could date whoever you want to date, but in my opinion, at that age and you being your age, you remember being 19. Y'all remember girls at 19. They was super emotional, fuck around, ruin your life, do whatever, say whatever. They up one day, down the next. So you as a grown man with millions and businesses can't afford to be seen or be dealing with that type of girl in a tumultuous relationship because they was together for, you know, a couple years. And I'm not going to say like, dating, but they was fucking. So again, when you got a girl that's that little, she probably here and there feels like you guys are actually something, whatever you feeding her or not. And now she like, this is the get back. Unfortunately, you're on tape talking about I'm gonna choke you, and that don't sound like a sexual choke. It sound like, hey, if you say that again, I'm going to choke the shit out of you. So I just think Shannon Sharpe's too old to be this green in the game. You should know you're getting recorded. You should have bitches signing NDAs. You should have stayed away from her in the first place because, again, she's 19 years old. She's on OnlyFans. These bitches are looking for a payday. And a lot of people say, well, why would he need to do this? He got bread, right? A lot of people don't understand. Like, if I go and crack something, if you go and crack something, you might have some money, but you don't got Shannon Sharpe bread. So the bitch gonna fuck with you because she really fuck with you. Whereas in Shannon Sharpe, they might not think he attractive. They might not actually fuck with him. They fuck with him for the bread. So they already looking at it like, you know what? I'll fuck this nigga over and not give a fuck at all. Because I really, really don't fuck with broad on my mind, my heart, my body, nothing. I'm here for the payday. You're a lick. I'm going to get you where I want you. And then I got you. So she went and got Tony Busby, which we all know who he is, right? So I don't think there's necessarily credibility. I don't think he's a predator or anything like that. I think they're in a relationship where shit got hot and he maybe said some things that, you know, niggas talk crazy, girls talk crazy. And unfortunately, she's using it against him now to defame him. But I think you're just too old and got too much bread to be this green. I just think this is some sucker shit for me. I'm going to keep it 100.
You know what? You know some things too. I think Shannon Sharpe's ego has gotten beyond who he is. And what I mean is a lot of these stars don't really need to be doing podcasts, I wish to say, or becoming, because you know a lot of NFL players keep their helmets on. They don't get the same type of attention as NBA players do. So now he's got a dose of that, even though he's been had money. But that attention needle he getting is on a different level. So he just feeling like a nigga. If you see the way he talk on the on the stuff with Ocho Cinco, the way he talk about women, a lot of the things that he chooses to do, it's like now he's like a kid in the candy store that ain't never really had nothing. So now he's just going wild. And I know what people are going to say. He's an NFL star. He probably been getting pussy and all that. Some of these niggas, that type of attention that he's getting,
it's not the same.
Yeah, it's tearing his head up. So he probably thought he was above the program in a sense of what been going on. You ain't learned, like you said, from your peers, of all these people under attack, especially our people when they get that money under attack. And then you go and put yourself in position for that. OnlyFans is basically equivalent of a prostitute. Like you just said, she wants the money at this point. You on OnlyFans at that point, you know she wants the bag. You should just drop off the bag, mess with her, and left her alone. You have a consensual building a relationship with an OnlyFans star.
That's where he blew it, because 19. The communication should have been limited to, I will hit you when I need your services.
That's it.
Goes the bag. Come give me the service.
He fell in love.
He fell in love.
He was green. He was in love with that 19-year-old.
Exactly. He was green because they said usually he won't fall for that. When they try to hit him and reach out to him, he'll leave him on red, ignore him, get a new number. But for some reason, this little hottie, this little snowflake got to him. So I don't know what type of freaky shit she did, how much grip she had on that pussy. She did something, nigga. The double hand, got 3,000, vacuum sealed, salt and pepper twist. That shit was hitting different, nigga, where he was texting her, good morning, beautiful. And
remember,
nigga, this bitch is on OnlyFans, cuz.
Supposedly, he met her in the gym, right? And he was pursuing her, and he was on her. And he's like, look, if you lose some weight, I'll get you a boob job. So he was already leading with money from the jump, where it's like,
lose
some
weight. Nigga, she like a
fucking I guess she was in a way.
She got a nice ass. Don't get me wrong. Is crazy.
I guess it was like some type of weight loss challenge or some type of challenge at the gym. He like, yo, if you win, I get you a boob job. I get your boobs done. So you already lead with money. She like, oh, this is it. It's over.
He green.
He
cooked. For sure.
But he knows he's gonna trick. But even at the end of the day, it's like Shannon Sharpe. What was you doing? You couldn't have obviously been thinking. You should have never fell in love with that thing. That's probably what he was hiding. He didn't want people to figure out he fell in love with a 19-year-old white girl, because they would have been killing him in the media for that. He's not going to walk around with her. But like you said, it should have just been a hit and quit, really. Or just, I don't even know. You should just left that alone, bro.
OnlyFans, bro. Now, he offered her 10 mil. Somebody in her ear told her, hey, I just heard he got a $100 million deal coming.
Mm-hmm.
$100 million. She said 10. I need 50. I need half of that new deal. That's where he blew it. I wouldn't have offered the bitch a red cent. I would have been leaking my own sex tapes, because he said, yeah, man, I know the tape. 30 seconds of it gonna make me look bad. That must mean he probably choking her up. They role playing. So he calling her all type of little nasty bitches the way I be doing and all that. Like, I know what's going on. Maybe she doing some other shit. I don't know. But all I'm saying is, I would have been going out of my way to play chess and jump ahead of what I know she's about to do. I would have been leaking my own phone calls, my own text messages. I know what the fuck I text. I know what I've been saying. Because what she probably was doing was having him role play throughout the day. But in her mind, I'm going to make this look like she abuse on my behalf. On my end, I'm going to make it look innocent. Like, I'm going to play innocent, play like you aggressive. I like that. So in her messages, she probably like, why are you talking to me like this? And that's when he gets to shut up, bitch, before I choke the shit out you. Even though I think that's AI still, that's what I think she was doing, was setting his ass up for the gusto.
I think so. And then you got, I mean, unfortunately, this isn't his first run-in where somebody's jumped out and accused him, or, you know, he's had a little stint where he's had to go sit down or, you know, avoid some shit. So how many times can you get in this situation where it's like, and again, he was on his show talking about, I don't even get in the elevator with girls if they by themselves. Are you sure, nigga? You sure you don't get on the elevator with the white bitch when she by herself? Because you clapping a 19-year-old bitch fresh out of high school. Like I said, that's just, niggas could date young, do whatever they want to do, but come on, man. Like, you just too green for me. I don't understand that. I don't know who gave you the game, but it's crazy.
Shout out to Unk. I hope you beat the Chargers, though.
Stay strong. It happens to the best of them, but you got to be smarter. It's like, damn, cuz, she probably had Cuff feeling like he was 19 again. That's why you fell in love with her. Like,
that's crazy.
She took him back. You know, that young energy them took him back, had Cuff wilding out. Now she out there, I don't know, man. I ain't even gonna say all that.
Hey, you see Cuh out there with Bud trying to change the narrative. Niggas ain't trying to hear that.
Oh, yeah. That's why I said that. I said, took that rap. Niggas ain't going for that.
You know the thing, boxing with Bud. Niggas like, we ain't going for this one, Cuh. What's up with the messages, gang?
That sucks because he just got. That's another thing, too. I don't know if there's a way to stop putting your deals out there, but niggas gotta stop telling the world how much money they getting.
Why do they do that? But I think a lot of times the companies and other stuff be doing that. Yeah, like public knowledge. I agree with that, though. Like, people shouldn't even be having to know how much they making. Like,
I was seeing this, it's a flip side to it too, right? Like, it's you getting $100 million or it's your publicist, your people putting out what you're gonna get offered so that they'll offer you that or offer you more.
Yeah, okay, like a negotiating.
Yeah, like he got $100 million. Okay, no, we're going to, you know, or give him less or more, and then maybe I only want 75, whatever it is. But I think niggas got to start being more low-key about the bag they get into because, again, that's a red flag. If I know you got $100 million and you're going to collect on that, you're going to pay me out 5-10 out of that because if not, your $100 million going to get held up for as long as the case.
Look, hold on, and did y'all see the messages about, and you know what? What's crazy is this nigga is so motherfucking fake now. I just thought about it. Because y'all seen all the messages about, he was talking bad about Deion.
Yeah.
Talking bad about all the NFL players. Yeah. He got a whole thing. He went crazy. They leaked the messages.
To who?
The gay dude.
Yeah.
But and the dude basically like, okay, cool. Like, basically, I didn't need to know all that. He was talking bad about Deion, talking bad about Stephon Diggs. This is why Shaq been going in on Cuh. Like, he just named a gang of people that he's like, I don't fuck with. And like, nigga, you was just at Colorado with Deion, smiling and everything else, acting like he was one of your main partners. Cuh went in on Ray Lewis. He went in on Ed Reed. I'm like, damn, this thing, what Ed Reed do to a nigga? that's crazy. And he, all these
And these
people,
were, these was confirmed real?
This is his messages. They leaked them. And for him, it's like, damn, Shannon Sharpe, you really a shiesty nigga on the low. And this is probably what the world is sending back his way too. You've been shiesty to people now. It's really coming back. That's what I'm starting to understand now. It's like, damn, you's a cold nigga. So they probably, ain't no telling, somebody sent her at him.
Yeah, because him and Shaq got beef going on. And I'm like, damn, what was that
Matt
about?
Matt Barnes leaked out the
audio
about the bread and stuff. People looking for information. It's like, it get real cutthroat out there.
Man, it's ugly.
Can this be the rise of the fall, Shannon Sharpe? Soon, they say the quicker you get up there, the faster you go down.
We'll see as details emerge. There's one topic we forgot to talk about, but we got to double back because we went in on Stephen A. Smith. So Kevin Gates said some disparaging things about LeBron's wife. Next day, pulls up courtside, sitting front and center courtside with his shirt out. All his chains on, damn near antagonizing LeBron. So the same way people was looking at suspect to keep the same energy he had with Kelpie when he got off, they wanted him to get off on Brandon. We looking at LeBron waiting for him to keep the same energy and go check Kevin Gates, because Stephen A was just talking about your son's game and he mentioned your fathering, your parenting, and that was enough for you to go pull Cut Corsair and damn near run a fade with him. This man mentioned your wife, your queen, sat courtside. I didn't even see LeBron walk over there.
But it's what,
is LeBron a hypocrite? Crazy. Is LeBron out of pocket for not keeping the same energy? Because there's no way a man get in the media, drag your wife's name through the media, unprovoked for no reason, come to the game, you see him, and you just checked Stephen A. You just checked him.
Context matters in that situation. For one, Stephen A has been ignored by LeBron for years and years and years on time about what he said about him, and it just finally hit a breaking point at that point. And Kevin Gates didn't really say much. He just said, you need to hit some white girls, or why she not smiling at you like that? It wasn't really that deep. It's playoff time. While LeBron would be a damn fool to be trying to be distracted in the middle of the playoffs about what the fuck this nigga done said online. He already responded, said he don't respond to peasants. And even after that, Kevin Gates came out with a whole nother video admiring and talking about how much he loved LeBron. He was basically saying it wasn't really that deep. It wasn't nothing that personal. So I don't think LeBron either needed to waste his energy, at least in that time or that moment. But you can look at it as that. If he had to check everything in that sense, I just say the history of Stephen A. Smith and LeBron was the real reason he even did that.
Man, LeBron been distracted, fool. He in the middle of the game while they losing, laughing, dapping up the team, the opposite team. He dabbing them up, giggling. Ah! Like, come on, cuz. He's not locked in like that.
Yeah, I think.
He is, but y'all know damn well ain't no nigga. Y'all to talk about how stupid he was for trying to get on a nigga at the fucking NBA game in the playoffs.
But now keep the same energy. Man just said something about your wife. At least go, hey, man, what's up? I'm here. What you saying about me? Keep my wife's name out your mouth. He could have pulled a Will Smith and went viral, nigga. He could have walked up to Kevin Gates and
dropped the
30
piece.
Keep my motherfucking wife's name out your motherfucking mouth.
I think you could look at it from both ways.
They would have killed that nigga.
Because off principle, right, if you do look at it, it's like, okay, you got on somebody for talking about your son. That's somebody else in your family. Why didn't you get on Kevin Gates for that? But then also, you got Stephen A, who they have a rapport. So this nigga's been talking about me since I've been 17 years old. So I probably been wanting to get at him, but I never did until it was just too much. And then on top of that, Stephen A. Smith is the biggest, he's at the top of the top in their realm of league. Where Kevin Gates is doing interviews talking about he wanna, you know, eat you, your pussy, whatever, weird ways and all the other extra shit. So it's like, am I really worried about this dude who is courtside with a Louis shirt on, opened up with chain? Like, he looked like an idiot, if we're gonna keep it 100. Courtside like that, it looks stupid. So it's not the same thing. He doesn't have the same rapport that he does with Stephen A. Smith. And it's not him saying that about his wife fucked up, and it probably make him mad. It's not getting the world talking how it was about Bronny. Like, his wife's a grown woman at the end of the day. I think that they could take that, where you seeing your son, you know, probably feel away in the house, be upset. Maybe it's affecting his game, his mental state. That's your kid. That's going to really get you up in arms where, yeah, you might feel a way about your wife, but I don't think it was to the point for him exactly in the playoff time to jump out and be like, yo, what's good? And then Kevin Gates ain't Stephen A. That also plays into it. Like, he might have not had the response that Stephen A did. He might have checked you. He might have checked you back, and it would have been like, all right, now what? You got to stand on business.
Even with that situation, Stephen A was blatantly disrespectful. He always disrespects or throws shots at LeBron and Bronny, constantly poking a bear at that point. It's like, Kevin Gates, what did he really say? Your wife don't smile at you? Like, nigga, if that's the case.
The way you just checked Stephen A, is no way the very next week you don't go check Kevin. There's no way.
I get what you're saying.
That energy gotta be the same, bro, because if you went courtside, pulled him aside, the world looking at you now like, okay, this your rep, this what you want. The man just popped it, said your wife's name. I don't care if it wasn't that bad or not. Nigga, why are you speaking up on my wife?
He should have never did it with Stephen A in the first place.
Exactly, because now that energy got to be kept. Now niggas trying you. And then it's like you poking the bear because you showed up courtside like Tony fucking Montana, damn near had, I thought he had some coke under his nose, the way he had his shirt unbuttoned and was just sitting there. I'm like, oh, Kevin, on, he on some shit. He came from smoke, nigga.
Should he really be acknowledging that? Like, nigga, you came to watch me play basketball.
Bro, the
nigga,
way he had his shirt open,
yeah, I'm not saying
was like, Kevin was ready to just rock it off and, like, hey, and get cracking.
But what I'm saying is the whole time, So LeBron should be controlled by words more so in a sense every single time. You know how many people that diss LeBron?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, should he really be, would the King really be mad at everybody down there?
Not everybody, but Kevin Gates with a platform as big as that? Yeah, go check,
And what did people even say about it?
Like, go check, gang. Like, I don't fuck
people,
all that.
People all over the internet, like, LeBron low-key.
He marked
him. Yeah, he didn't have. He didn't have.
He marked LeBron James.
He marked out, bro.
Y'all act like this nigga be trying to act super tough.
He marked out. Hey, you the man?
Marked out LeBron James.
No, nigga, crash out, nigga. Why is status? Nah. All of a sudden, you want to take the fucking higher road?
I didn't say crash out for that. I'm saying it's different bases of why you should crash out. It's why you do what you do that makes somebody. It's like Kevin Gates just dropped music. He probably trying to get some attention, some clout, or whatever it might be. And he really didn't really say too much to disrespect the nigga.
He really didn't, but it's just the fact that, bro, you said my wife's name in the media for what? What you on?
How many other people do that? This nigga, wow. Everybody got something to say about
what you
her.
On? That's really, he didn't even have to go crazy. He just could have approached him like, okay, what you on? Because you showing up the next day.
After it's kind of crazy.
After it went viral online, and it was viral enough for you to post, we don't respond to peasants. Yeah. I don't respond to peasants. Babe, what we on? So it affected you some way, and it had to affect your wife in some way, because it was enough for you to send a subliminal. That's where the respect get lost. Why even send a subliminal? We know you talking about cuz. So
if
he a peasant, there go the peasant right there. Cuz, get up on him.
He loved doing that. He always subliminals, or he should have did that shit he do every 2 months in Zero Dark 30. I'm turning my phone off. That's what he should have did.
Was it really a subliminal if everybody knew who he was talking about?
That's a subliminal if you don't put a name on it.
Yeah, it is. But at the end of the day, cuz, niggas be acting like LeBron just been crashing out and supposed to do shit.
Come on, cuz. Don't start glazing LeBron.
Ain't nobody glazing nothing, nigga. You was just talking about how Kevin Gates was a weirdo and all this other shit the last episode.
Right,
even
so
doing that.
So get up on him. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I could see both sides.
Yeah, you say that, but then y'all was cool about when Brandon didn't respond to suspect. And it was cool for him to just not let words control him.
No,
now you're saying LeBron should let words control him.
Hold on. First of all, we called Brandon behind the scenes and told Cud, don't ever do that shit again, nigga. Next time that happened, lay a demo down. Yeah, we can say you were self-controlled and poised and all of that, but we told that nigga flat out, you threw out catch a face too many times to turn down one when it came to you. You threw it out there too many times. So don't even say that, because we scrutinize Cud in real life. Now, on the internet, we let him get his narrative off because it wasn't about what we thought. It was about what happened from his perspective. We already crucified Cud behind the scenes behind that shit. So,
And you have people of his stature, if you want to say, who do what he does that have de-escalated situations before. So it's not like it was unheard of for a nigga that could put paws on a nigga professionally to be like, all right, I'm not going to do
so
it.
Let me, and that's so, exactly
so,
what I said.
So let me ask you then, Kylie. Should LeBron have crashed out?
On Kevin Gates?
Yeah.
I don't think so. That would have been crazy. But that would have been
is
crazy.
That a,
yeah.
Is that a crash out? Like, just walking up, bro, courtside.
Yeah, that.
Oh, you get, walk up.
It would have been. He would have had to take it there. Though,
you gotta crash out.
Nigga with no shirt, chains on. You gotta crash out though. Man. It ain't no. Hey, how you doing?
You're going to have to crash. What is the point of having a conversation if you're not going to crash out?
And he with his girl.
You don't got to crash for a convo. It's just temperature check. Check his temperature. Listen, you just mentioned my wife.
You know what he said already.
And you're courtside. What's up? What you on?
Kevin and then Gates when he say what he on, you see what the fuck I said. Nigga, now what? Fuck you want to do? Then LeBron supposed to just walk off.
Now,
and then
nigga, go viral. I need,
then
I need
go,
that.
Then go viral.
After the,
so
after
he
the game.
That. So he
after
has
the
to
game,
crash
be
out.
Outside. Nigga.
Come
no,
to the locker room.
Now be outside.
No, because now he has to crash out right there. Because as soon as he walk away, niggas going to be like, he marked out. You should have fought him right there. Nigga, you ain't even mad no more. It's no win.
Niggas could have got their ones in the locker room.
Glazing. Hey, look. These tariffs, man. My kids was just on spring break. Bro, my grocery bill for the week that they were off was over $600.
That's nuts.
For the week. 1 week. I remember when moms used to grocery shop. 600 was for the month and maybe some change.
Y'all niggas got to better start fasting.
Bro, 1 week. These little motherfuckers had $600 worth of food. Not only that, online prices, online shopping, through the roof. Shein, prices has skyrocketed by up to 377% as new tariffs impact U.S. shoppers. So mere days after news first broke that Shein will be raising prices, in response to the tariffs, customers are now seeing the difference. As you know, you can get 30 outfits from Shein from like $250. 50 cents for shipping. Shein dirt. You going on vacation to the beach anywhere, go to Shein, bro. Because a lot of that stuff that be on Amazon Prime, a lot of that stuff that's on Fashion Nova, Boohoo Man, all these other sites where you get your clothes online real quick, Shein be having the same stuff for nothing. I swear to God, shorts be like $1.50, something crazy. You know it's a one and done. I'm on vacation. I'm going to wear this one time. Throw that shit in the garbage. Not no more. Shein got real prices. You damn near better go to Polo or something. You got to go to a regular store, nigga. You got to go hit Nordstrom Rack or something. Nordstrom's, matter of fact. So what y'all think about these tariffs, bro? Because we had a conversation about this a while ago saying that the government should have prepared citizens by giving them some type of stimulus head start check. Mm-hmm. Now, we can sit here and say, oh, man, they're giving out the stimulus, inflating the economy. No, that's not what's inflating the economy. It's overspending by the government. So they have a yearly budget, and the government is over that yearly budget by millions and millions of dollars, which is causing the inflation. Now, USAID went and found out where all this money is going. And let's just say it's getting funneled through a bunch of BS. Out of this world, they talking about trans operas in Peru and gas stations in Afghanistan that never pumped 1 ounce of gas and not even open. They're stealing money, bro. Bottom line, that's where the inflation is coming from. So the fact that prices are going up over 400%. Did your check go up over 400%?
Yeah, no.
Did your pay go up over 400%? I don't think it did. But the prices at the store are up. So what y'all think about that?
I just think a lot of stuff, especially with the government when it comes to this money stuff, like, it's really all excuses at the end of the day. Because how are you running out of something you create, you make? Like, how are we having any problems about anything that got to do with money in that sense? And then I knew they were saying before that it was going to get worse before it got better, but it just don't make no sense. They really just trying to keep you down in a sense. And it might help some people, though, on the low, because now you ain't going to be doing all that crazy shopping for binge shopping and shit every day. But 9 times out of 10 is BS. Hopefully it balances back out. But, you know, a lot of people go for anything. The same way COVID prices changes. If COVID price, when COVID happened and the prices changed and they stayed high, like, that's the type of stuff that people go for when you keep participating in shopping with them. People just got to blackball them at some point.
Yeah, for me, it's looking like, too, you know, even like during COVID, for instance, or right now with the tariffs raising, people got to raise their prices. And if we don't have the money to afford that, then some of these places go out of business. So that's where my whole thing was the last time we talked about it is, when does it kick in and get better? Because all I'm seeing for the foreseeable future is people having to up their prices. So now the consumers can't pay, or they can't pay as often. And in turn, we got to lay people off. We got to get rid of our business. And that just tanks the economy even more because now you have less money pumping in. So I'm just looking at it that way. I don't see it getting better anytime soon. And if you have a place like Shein that's reliable, where you can get, like you said, shorts or some shit for $5 and now I got to pay $20, $30, that's going to fuck the game up. So can they bounce back from that? Will they lose consumership because of that? That's what we'll have to wait and see. But I don't know when it's going to get better.
Bro, it says e-commerce platforms like Shein and Temu face 120% tariff due to the U.S. ending the de minimis exception for small packages from China and Hong Kong. Washington will also increase the per postal item fee to $100 after May 2nd and even higher after June 1st. As recently as April 21st, Trump said, I'm going to say claims, there's virtually no inflation. I don't know where he's shopping at, but bro is out his damn mind.
Yeah,
I'm at
the grocery
store. Something else, though.
I'm at the grocery store every week. Inflation
one thing
ain't went down. He said the energy prices are falling. Bro, I just talked about how
Edison
is screwing people out trying to pay for these fires. My energy prices went up. And he said, grocery prices are dropping. I've been grocery shopping every week. Prices are up.
One thing I think they should change and start doing for like the average working citizen is at least don't make people slave for the X amount of money. Like if the economy goes up and your percentages of your working don't go up, they should allow jobs to be fluctuate. Even make you still get the same amount in that paycheck, but to still have more freedom time for yourself to do something else outside of just slave and come back and you're still in need for financial gain. I think there should be some type of stipulations in the workforce, period.
Yeah, but the problem with that is you need workforce. So I can't give you time off. I would have to essentially hire more employees, which in the long run, I'm going to wind up losing money. So that's how that would be fucked up.
But 9 times out of 10, they're going to keep enough people to keep positions filled and what I'm saying. Because
this is one key point. When prices go up, they don't come back down. When everything level out, the company is like, man, y'all been paying this for the last 6 months. Y'all stuck with this. That's the real problem. Once them prices go up, they don't come back down.
My thing with like Temu, Shein, these fast fashion places, right, that we know are overseas in China, where we're intentionally trying to hit. And so I think that's the logic part of it is we raise the tariffs. These things become expensive. Americans are now forced to shop with American stuff because now their fast fashion things are too expensive and we can cut them out of the thing. My only thing with that is, then what do you guys provide? What's the alternative that America provides? So if we don't have a Shein or a Temu from China no more, then America, we need y'all to make something that's going to be an alternative to that, because niggas don't want to get rid of paying for $5 for shorts and then have to go to Amazon and pay $25 or $30. So that's, and then if we are, when do you raise the wages or make the economy better so that we're able to pay for that? So I kind of understand the logic of trying to box out those certain businesses that are taking money from us, so to speak. But again, if you're not going to make an alternative, then what the fuck are we going
to
do?
Are we still like in debt to like China and stuff?
Bro, they claim who are we in debt to?
I think France, everybody.
Nah,
Revolutionary War.
The reason I say that, I just thought about like, because what if this was just a whole big grand scheme of whatever they do? Because you know America does a lot of creating problems and then acting like they're fixing them to look like the hero. So what I mean is, in a sense, all of a sudden, like, why would China barely come out now and tell us everything they told us about the money stuff? You know what I mean? As far as the bags and everything else. Because now, eventually, a lot of people will start to gravitate directly to China. And their money will start to skyrocket up. So it's like, maybe America is giving them a play and fucking us in the end. And even they've been coming out and saying, like, and no Diddy on that shit, but
hold on, what did he say? Pause, cut back at it.
Nah, yeah, I even cut back at myself. But nah, but for real though, but I think they could do things. They governments might be working together. He went and sat down with the dude. Now all of a sudden, they decided to come out and tell us that they make everything. Why would y'all not been saying that? Because y'all had deals with America. And if they do or don't, I just think a lot of money can start gravitating through them. They're like, well, we ain't gonna pay y'all nothing, but look, we know how to get y'all a little quick money grab and start taxing our citizens for it.
They got an answer to everything except paying the public more. They got an answer for everything. Oh, cut back on your spending, do this, do that. The answer is never, let's increase wages. People just not making enough. Right. That's what it is. It's not people living above their means. It's not people overspending. People are not making enough. The math is not mathing. Everything in our daily lives have went up exponentially, but the pay is still the same, like we stuck in the damn 50s. The percentages have not matched what's went up in housing, what's went up with the cars, what's went up in groceries, what's went up in gas, what's went up in electricity, what's went up in everything that surrounds our everyday life except your pay. That shit is damn near flatline, and you just got to figure it out. Meanwhile, they got every loophole in the book. How to not pay taxes, hide money overseas, hide it in this corporation, I own this corporation that's not in my name. They got every trick in the book. But you got to pay all these damn taxes. Like, come on, bro. I'm over the shit. I've been told y'all what we need to do. Long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
One band, one sound. Let everybody stop paying at the same time. Tell them now what. What you going to do?
Now, speaking on how things are getting more expensive, when I went to see Sinners, that's something that made me realize that I'm like, I went to the little Regal and I'm like, tickets now are $17.99. You know what I mean? Popcorn, a small, is $10. I'm like, you
spending $100 at the movie. You're
spending $100 for two.
Imagine if you got kids.
And then I'm like, can we get some jalapenos? They're like, oh, yeah, that'd be $4.99. Like, what?
They got to pay for the size.
Hey, look.
Cold-ass school pizza. I'm like, hold on.
You go to the movies now. You remember when we was kids?
$5 Tuesdays.
It was family day. The whole family was at the movies. Go to the movies now. You don't see no kids in there.
No,
the adults is like, me and your dad going to watch a movie. Y'all will catch it when it hit the DVD or when it hit the streaming sites or something.
It's crazy.
When it hit the black box. Because it's 100 for just me and her.
Yeah.
Popcorn. Don't buy a drink in there. You cook.
Yeah.
You better be bringing your flask filled with something.
Or if you go to the dine-in, it's going to be, sometimes you go there, it's $20, $30 for a meal.
Man,
one, they serve you, yeah,
one old-fashioned, $30, nigga. Two old-fashioned, you 60 in, 15 for the popcorn, $30 for two tickets, nigga. You 150 in.
That's crazy.
With the, between the candy, drinks, and tickets, nigga.
They damn near don't even appease to the children no more when it comes to the movies. Because when we went, it was more of an experience. You had the arcade games. You had a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? The cruising USA. You had a lot of things to do when you was a kid. Now you just go to the movies. You in and out. Like you said, you ain't going to see no kids. Like, y'all got, I don't even remember them having liquor and stuff in the movies when I was a kid.
They did not. Yeah, they didn't have none
of
that.
Even
shit.
The matinees be seeming like it's high. It's what expensive. Happened to the $5 tickets, cuz?
Yeah, $5 Tuesdays. Or if you go before like 1 or 2, it'll be cheaper.
Yeah.
I don't even think they do that shit no
that
more.
That shit, I mean, the movie is, whew. You got to take out a damn 401k loan to go to the movies now.
Hey, for sure.
Shit time. Crazy.
It's ridiculous, man. Y'all better, we better get together. That's all I'm going to tell y'all. Are y'all steady arguing over what NFL player went to the White House and who didn't, nigga? They steady raising up that popcorn price at the movies, nigga.
No, that's fair.
Tell my girl, get the big purse. We ain't buying shit in here, but maybe some popcorn.
Popcorn, that's it.
And whatever you don't bring, it's over for you. You ain't got it. Your ass better bring some water or something to drink or you're going to be swallowing spit, nigga. That shit crazy.
Even the water, they get gas in there. You want the little smart water or the big smart water? Shit, $7-$8. I'm like,
they got theme park prices, nigga. It's crazy.
But then they make the waters damn near like a dollar something off, maybe just to make you get the big one. You like, fuck it anyway.
Might as well. Might as well pay extra.
You're only $1.75 more.
Nah, it's getting wild. It's getting spooky, man. The economy is crazy. Nightlife is cooked. Nightlife is over. Nobody could afford to go out. Date night, maybe you go get something to eat. But I remember a time where you used to go get something to eat, and then that was the prefix. That was the pregame. We finna go hit a comedy show. We gonna go from the comedy show. We gonna go out to a bar, and we gonna go from one bar. We gonna hit like 3-4 rooftops in the night. Park here, park there, park. Bro, we have one destination. Where you want to eat, we going there and going home. It's over with.
Parking $20 at each of them.
Facts. You drive around the corner, $20 parking. Each
$20 after 10 minutes.
And then they got smart. You go to these 5-stars, valet only some of these spots.
Yep.
So either you're going to park 4 blocks down or you...
Then you get there and they go, oh, we got a 20% gratuity. We going to put that in there
automatic.
Too.
Then the nigga who hands you the key still want a tip. Nigga, y'all done took an automatic gratuity and you want a personal tip?
Yeah, don't let your girl be in heels. You automatically going to valet.
Yeah. You sure. You don't want to walk that shit.
Nigga be like, I'm gonna drop you off in the front. I'll be back.
I'll come and get you.
I'll come down that block for sure. Go get us a seat.
Yeah. That shit's going. Yeah. Hey, it's so crazy. I remember one night, nigga, was you with me? We went downtown LA. It was a random little Hispanic dude with a vest on and a stool.
Oh, yeah, they do that.
Collecting parking. I'm looking around.
I remember a few times we just drove in.
We had pay cut first. And then something
made I'm the one who got a bony.
Because you said, hey, how long y'all open? He said, till midnight. We like, cut, we not coming back till 2. He like, oh, the lock going to be open. Your car going to be here. You're like, hold on, okay, you the security? I just paid you $40. He like, yeah, it's going to be open.
Nah,
I'm like, who you work for?
You had already paid him. I didn't pay cut yet. And I got up on him like, man, it's just a regular nigga over here. I'm not paying cut. I'm like, you can't cut your money. We even got up on cut, got cut money back. But hella people, he was getting
back. So
we came back out, cut was gone. No, everybody was sick in that lot.
Because there was like 3 people behind us that pulled up and was finna pay, and they was watching the transaction go on. So cut like,
oh, y'all fuck, bro. So
bro, I swear to God, because he had no name on his vest, no company. It was just like an orange vest you probably could have got from Target
or something. The lot probably was free. You just had to just go up
I'm like,
there.
Bro, who you work for? Who owned the lot? Cud had no answer. I'm like, bro, give me my fucking money back. Cud gave my bread back. He like, yeah, I'm leaving at midnight. The other niggas came in and said, nigga, we ain't paying you either, cuz. Yeah, we low-key blew his operation.
Yeah, they be doing that, and they be threatening, oh, you gonna get told.
Because you know you see them selling the vests off the freeways.
Yeah. I'm like, cuz, the lot is open till 2. You're the lot attendant. How are you leaving at midnight and my car's still here? Because he like, nah, take your keys. Like, usually they take your keys.
Yeah, I don't give you a ticket. No tickets or nothing.
Yeah, cuz it's like, yeah.
Print out or nothing. Yeah,
he just standing at the gate. I'm like, this nigga crazy.
Hey, I should have blazed even with his pockets, nigga.
But that's an easy lick out in L.A. or, you know, Hollywood, because niggas be thirsty to pay anyway. Here, just take my car, do whatever. They don't even be caring. So that's an easy lick.
Because you expected to pay, so yeah. You're like, all right, he has to work here. No, mm-hmm. Bro. They getting a vest, a stool, and setting up and seeing who's dumb enough to pay their ass.
Now, capitalizing off the prejudice.
We did the same thing a couple of times at the mall, too. You know how they be putting, like, trying to block off the parking?
Yeah.
Remember, you like, man, I just flew in there. Oh, yeah. Because the dude be at the thing. I'm like, how they even know? This is open every day, the same part of the lot. Then one day they just put a sign up, and we just listen to it.
The parking?
I'm like, nigga, that's out.
Yeah,
man.
Like
I'm
the parking that's
that
right in the front. Monday through Thursday, it's open. Cerritos Mall, I'm talking about. It's open right in front
right
of
there,
right in front of the cheesecake.
Yeah, right there. Yeah.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they put cones up and put a nigga in the front to collect money.
Yep. And it's no parking in there. Nigga,
you know,
just
all the motherfuckers
I
coming
know
for
the
brunch.
Nigga knew I didn't pay for nothing. He just looked at me like,
nah, for
like
sure.
I ain't even gonna fuck with them. But I'm just like, damn, that's crazy. They can really just make bread like that.
I went around the back and drove in the back, nigga. I remember one time I drove in and Cut came to the car and knocked on the window. Like, man, I'm going to call the tow nigga, whatever. I'm like, all right. They got drove around the back, drove Mudacone, drove right in and parked. You got me fucked up.
Yeah, they be taxing.
I'm like, who am I even paying? He like, I don't know, man. Whoever owned this. Yeah, he crazy as like, fuck, nigga.
That whole lot be empty. They know it ain't no parking sure. In that motherfucker. I'm like, damn, that's crazy.
You know, Cerritos got that terrible park, especially if you park against the wall, nigga. Take an hour to back out.
I be doing that shit. I just be like, fuck it. I'm trying to just get some steps in.
I usually try to find like the furthest one because nobody want to park and walk. I just park and just walk. Fuck it. It is what it is.
Nah, facts. Use the mall to get to wherever you're getting through.
Yeah. Nah, facts. But yeah, man, this was a good one. We're going to keep it short and sweet. Y'all run us up unless y'all got some other topics y'all want to run through.
Nah, it's good today. We'll throw them this one. What is this, an hour?
Hour
20. Nah, it's an hour 20. I low-key wanted to talk about Sinners, but I don't think you even seen that shit.
You ain't see it, huh?
We can talk about Sinners.
You said it was Boof, huh?
Yeah, it's the only Negro in the world that said Sinners was Boof.
I never said it was Boof.
Cuz said it's all right. Nigga, Sinners was a 15 out of 10.
I didn't say it was Boof or none of that. Y'all just be stay trying to put words in nigga's mouth. I said the way Cub blew it up, all that nigga, she's extra deep, nigga, had me out my body, all this other shit. I couldn't believe it when it scene happened. Like, I'm like, this nigga crazy.
It was crazy, though. It was crazy.
Was it not deep?
Yeah,
I didn't say it wasn't deep, but it wasn't as complex as y'all made it to be. But what I'm saying is, so what was the deepest thing in that movie to you?
For me, it was the messaging. Like, the fact of, the biggest thing to me was the juke joint. I looked at that as the culture, and I literally looked at how the vampires was trying to get in. The key part was how we had to let them in. That, to me, was like, damn. Because we really played a part in our own demise of our culture. Because without us being like, okay, come in, they would have never been able to enter in and fuck shit up. But that's what we was doing. So that, to me, was like the biggest part. And then when you learn about Smoke and Stack and how he played off of in West Africa where you know, Black Americans originate from, how there's a deity about twins and all of that shit. Like, he went into depth. Even the little Asians that he put in the movie, how they really was out there in Mississippi during that time or South Carolina, and we could only eat on that side of the street. The other side was the white side. He put a lot of deep shit in it. To me, that just spoke to me like right away. I'm like, okay, I get it.
You got it right off the bat.
Yeah, I feel like I was already forming a narrative.
See, couldn't even know that. Yeah. Like,
nah,
you broke that shit down.
Nah, I knew that already. But what I was going to say is, to that point you were just saying, I seen somebody also made a great point. Did you see how the Asians came and they was like basically to the point where it was when it was time to be with us,
they wasn't.
Nobody's actually with us. Yeah. So what I mean is, like, she was like, oh, I'm just here for the party. That's it. But when shit got real, and she ended up needing them at the end of the day, too. But when people came after us, basically, that's how it is for people in the culture. Like, we invite people in, and then they when it's time to get cracking, they ain't trying to get cracking.
But what's so cold, the one that we invited to the party, the Asians, she invited them in.
Yeah.
When they threatened her daughter. Oh, just come in. So we didn't even necessarily invite them in. We invited her, which she invited them in because the fight for her wasn't worth sacrificing possibly what they said they could take was her family, even though they was low-key capping, but they got in her head. Because we was like, nah, stand strong, ignore it, ignore it. It got in her brain and cracked her mind because she wasn't strong enough to stay on cold. So she was like, fuck it, y'all come in, and wind up getting herself killed anyway. And another key point was people say, oh, the KKK don't exist. When your clip went viral, oh, y'all dumb, KKK don't exist. Oh, y'all, when the last time you seen KKK? In the movie, they asked him, are you KKK? He said, no, they don't even exist no more. Come to find out,
He was the Klan leader.
And the land they sold him, it was a kill house. It was the kill floor where they used to kill. It was a slaughterhouse. So he sold them the slaughterhouse, went and rallied up his Klan boys, took the money from the sale, and they doubled back to kill them to get the land back. But they hid who they really were, because you had some cops, you had some whoever worked in the town, some judges, some, like we said in the clip. Mm-hmm. Basically, that's what's going on. It's the same thing going on. They just operating in business now. Yeah, I'm going to sell you this business, but I might, Palisades Fire.
And like he
Hawaii Fire. And he get the land back.
And what was so crazy, he knew they was going to double back.
Yeah.
That was even more crazy. But then, even if you pay attention, I guess, to this point of the white woman was they downfall. Mm-hmm. Remember the brother kept telling him to get her out of here. Then they did the dumb shit by using her to go talk to them. She get turned out by them, and now she comes back because they trusted her. And this is the power of what I was talking about, like the wisdom of women, because the black woman was like, nah, something ain't right about them. They off. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Don't let them in. And niggas didn't really pay attention to that. So another to me, part that was good in that.
Another part I caught was about black business. Like if you realize when the black people was coming in, they was paying with the wooden coins. And Smoke, which I think was the smarter one, was like, we don't want that. But Stack was like, we kind of got to work with our people because this is all they got. So we got to be able to work with them for a little while and then we can figure it out. And I think the eagerness to make money and kind of go work with other people because maybe we felt like our people don't got enough to offer was also a downfall, you know, and a demise of our culture as well. So I looked at it that way too.
I don't think he was worrying about working with other people. I just think he was, like you said, it was more about making the money, but they had the same idea in different ways, I think, to an extent, because they wanted this to be for black people. Like they wanted that to be that experience, but that's what the brother was basically getting at too. Like, man, you taxing them, they're not going to want to come back type shit. So I don't know. That was cool.
And the Irish too, right? Like that was crazy because if you go throughout their culture, they got similarities to us. I'm not going to say they spot on, but they have similarities to the struggles and things like that. So I thought him using Irish people was crazy. Even the Native Americans, how he showed like they knew it all before everybody.
Yeah, that's what caught me. They used the natives at the beginning.
They knew everything before everybody. And then we out of here. Like, fuck it. We already know what this is. But the voodoo thing was crazy too, because in most movies, like you've seen Harriet, other East Bayou, all these movies, we use voodoo as like a witchcraft kind of thing where it wasn't originally that, right? Like it was originally something for us that was healing, for us to be in tune with our deeper selves. And somewhere down the line, white culture, white America took it and turned it into something demonic. And that's not really what it was. So this movie really brought that back to us in a positive way.
Voodoo and hoodoo.
And hoodoo, yeah.
Hoodoo, how about the dancing and the music and how that's magic in itself, the frequencies and the sounds and the drums and the dances.
But did y'all,
and a key point. Deep.
Not to cut you off, but did you peep that they went through damn near every genre?
This is what I was going to say. Yeah. They created the classic poster that every black family in the world had. Mm-hmm. That classic photo in the juke joint with all the black people dancing, and then they took that through every era of music all the way back to the tribes, the tribalism. And they ran through everything and see how it's all interconnected, and that was dope. That was cinematic genius in itself.
The older dude said that. He said, blues is actually our religion. He said some shit like that, like, this religion they gave to us, Christianity, the white man gave us this, but this is how we really heal and speak each other. He told the story about
the vibrations and
he told the story about how they did the, you know, after slavery, they were still picking cotton and he started singing, and pretty much that's how he got over those traumatic experiences. So
that was another thing too, when they was outside and he was dancing and they like down there like the mantra. You know what I'm saying? How they talk about, if you ever see Michael Jackson interviews, he was saying it's like a mantra that like hypnotizes you to in a sense. So I think that vibration of that music was fucking a lot of them up too. Or they're using that in a sense of what music does to people.
The vampire thing was genius to me because it was like giving your soul up for the promise of heaven on earth, mm-hmm. which is what you hear a lot about in the music industry and Hollywood. And, oh, we know we're going to give you this. We're going to give you this. We're going to give you the world. You're going to get the golds, the diamonds, the fame, the this, the that. But then somewhere along the way, the musicians lose their soul. Because I don't know if you noticed. I don't know if it was Smoke or
he controlled
Stack. One of them had said, no, it wasn't. It was the dude, the drunk. Where he was like, I know a lot of musicians, but I don't know no happy ones.
Yeah,
right.
And they was asking him, why you want to be a musician? Mm-hmm. And you notice in the music industry, I mean, how many happy musicians do you know?
Not many.
They be happy at first. Then once they get, bam, hit with the business, everybody seemingly has the same story. Look at the boy we just talked about earlier in the show. TDE pissed off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they hit key points in this movie.
I think what that is, give or take, but even if you pay attention that even when they sold their souls, he controlled them all. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So that was like, you really don't even have control of your life. You're getting everything, but you only can move according to the way I want you to move. So I think that was a big point. What I didn't really get at the end is like, he never killed the brother, but how did they make a deal? Because if the brother was trying to kill them niggas anyway before that, what changed or what transpired that? Remember he was asking the old dude, like, would you want to, I had to basically make a deal to not kill you type stuff. Like, because they had to kill them all one at a time.
Yeah, because so. Like, his brother was finna take him out. And then he said he couldn't. I was the one that he couldn't. But before he spared me, he made me promise him I would spare you. But he still doubled back to offer him the deal. So right. that was deep. And that was deep because I seen a post that's going viral too where dude was saying, shit, if that was my brother got turned, I would have went and willingly got turned. And then I would have went on a spree getting all the people who basically infiltrated the culture, he was saying. Mm-hmm. Basically like white America. He would have went, because it was Jim Crow days. They were still picking cotton. The KKK still existed. So he's saying, nigga, I would have turned vampire and just went killing the KKKs.
Yeah, but he's saying that, but you didn't have control. The white dude had control over you. Yeah. So all exactly. that, you wouldn't have been able to do all that. It didn't matter. Whatever his agenda was, you would have been a part of. So that would have really just been debunked. But even with the... Cause he basically what the old dude said at the end, like he don't want to live again type stuff. But even if you would have chose to go that route, far as what he said about the brother, it wouldn't have made sense because she asked him like if they get me to be able to release her soul.
Release my soul. I don't want my soul.
I think him not doing that was still able to allow him to do that if he needed to. I think.
Now the movie was deep, even just on like a technical standpoint, like how he broke down the different screens to go see it on, go see it IMAX. You can see it on this screen, like the still shots they got, all of that. Like that was some crazy marketing that also like made it really cool. So
I definitely got to Ryan Coogler. I definitely got to see it again because Ryan Coogler actually made history.
Yeah.
So the deal for the film centers with Warner Brothers included several unusual provisions, including final cut rights, early profit participation, and the eventually reversion of ownership to Coogler after 25 years. So this deal is unheard of. And it's a lot of the filmmakers and a lot of the people behind the scenes were upset that he was able to pull this deal off because they're afraid that writers in the future are going to say, I need this same deal or something along the lines of this.
That's what made it, to me, the movie was like a slam dunk at that point. Like, damn, it's about, you know, controlling the culture, controlling our narrative. And he's actually getting to do that in real life. They're saying this is one of the biggest movies with an original plot in a while, right?
And they tried to sabotage it because they cut the budget.
Y'all was even more crazy. I've been seeing people crash out talking about why the Latinos wasn't included.
I seen that too. But one point I gotta make, they tried to cut the budget on the movie, and he still made it great. They tried to undercut the budget, thinking that he was going to fail because of this deal, and he wound up being great anyways. But how crazy is that point that you just made? The Latinos, not all.
I think they need
the post that we seen of the few that went viral, upset that Latino culture was not included in the movie. That's crazy.
I think some of them need a history lesson because if you go back in history, there's an island at a certain point in time that people immigrated to before coming into America. That's when there's a, remember, I think you showed me or some, I might've sent it to you, or it's like, where were all of the Mexicans, where were all the, there was different races. Like, where were they during this era?
During segregation era, like, it wasn't even out here.
Yeah, they were, there was an island that they had to go through before coming over to America. So in a lot of these eras, it was really just blacks and whites, or you had the Asians coming over here as well. So y'all not, wasn't necessarily around from a historical standpoint in those areas.
Even then though, but it's a movie. Just enjoy the movie. Like, people be acting like this law, this, everything is just a fact. You know what I mean? It's a few messages in there, but this is not just the, like a based on just everything, just a true story type
movie.
And
he rock with y'all because the second Black Panther, he really made it a you know what I mean, that black and brown thing.
Yeah,
so,
there was Hispanic coming out the water.
Yeah, so he rock with everybody, and he shows it in his movie. So
it's,
I don't,
crazy
think
though to want to be inserted in the Jim Crow.
It's wild.
It's crazy work. It's like y'all went from hip hop to Jim Crow to we were slaves too. Like, god damn. Can black people have anything that's exclusive? We don't hate on nobody else.
Shit, y'all don't want that.
We don't hate on nobody else when they make the movies for their culture. We go watch it,
movies,
support
I
it.
Love them.
We don't watch the mob movies and say, why the fuck it ain't no niggas in Italy? No, nigga, we love Scarface. We love The Godfather. We love Casino. We loved Heat. Like, we don't hate on nothing. I watched The Bronx Tale.
And they be racist in the movies.
And they be racist fact. Towards niggas. You fucking moolies. Yeah. And you feel me? We like, that's just how they was rocking.
Yeah.
We get one thing that's exclusive to us while we ain't included. Like, come on, girl. Like, y'all is crazy.
That's wild. He got Tom Cruise popping out, though, talking about, you know, Tom Cruise is a legend in the game. So you got Tom Cruise popping out, talking about this is a good movie. Ben Stiller, all them Jewish white actors coming out saying this shit is a hit. Yeah,
I think that was the fuel to the fire for him, like you said, them trying to knock the budget. He probably like, y'all ain't gonna stop me. He damn near just solidified himself with that movie, far as being now more people, I believe, will take him more serious in that industry.
Oh yeah, and it changes my bad, because I came in here a while ago when we was talking about good black actors, and I had some words for Michael B. Jordan because
you killed him.
Yeah, yeah, you try to body him.
In most of his movies, like Creed, he had a couple lines. Black Panther, he had a couple lines. He did it. He played two niggas. He did his shit. I can't really say nothing about him at this point.
The only other person I could see pulling that role off to me was Jamie Foxx. I couldn't see nobody else really pulling that role off. I could see Jamie playing it, but Michael B. Jordan, he hit the nail on the head with that, bro. They say he was going to talk to real twins to see how they interact with each other. Like, he really deep dove into pulling that role off, and that shit was... He did his shit,
to
bro.
To play both of them?
He did his shit.
That was A1. He damn near played a gang of roles because he had to end up being the vampire. You know what
all
I'm saying?
All type of shit,
so,
sure.
So that was salute to,
shout
to,
out to
Michael
I definitely want
to sure.
watch that again.
I think I am.
I don't know if y'all saw The Accountant. We could break that down in the next one. I want y'all to go watch that because we talked about smart houses a lot on this show and why we were against it. Go watch The Accountant too. You're going to see exactly what we was talking about. Bro, they put this in the movie and some more. Like, shit, we didn't even, like, really think about. I'm like, oh, my God. They can do that for sure. If it's in the movie, they can do it. Nigga, go watch The Accountant too. Y'all got to see that. That shit is crazy what they could do with them smart houses. Because you saw the clip going viral, a dude with the smart TV. He had the little Asian in the corner just staring at
him. That was crazy.
Yeah. It's
a gang of people. Yeah, that was crazy. They said, man, I ain't even going to say that.
The headphones on covers. Just look at that.
I'm like, then they was doing it with some of them. Their TVs was off. And then you see them.
That's
like,
how you see them.
That's crazy.
I'm telling you,
cut. Somebody watching through your TV is wild. Who just want to sit there and watch somebody in their house, though?
That shit had me ready to cut my electricity off, cut, and go back to candlelight, nigga. I said, damn, they could do that? This shit is
that's these smart TVs. They're going to go back to the big boxes.
With the box at the back of it. Yeah.
Even the surveillance in the streets, nigga. When you watch that, you like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's deep.
They got big-ass cameras over here now, too.
Like if you can go on Google Maps and find and search and look through Google Maps and find, like, houses and everything, they for sure got cameras recording that.
Cut, I seen homies on Google Maps, nigga. Pulled a homie house up, cut chunking up the set, nigga, on Jesus in front of cut house.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Crazy, nigga.
I wonder how long do they change to update that stuff, because you see cars, then you check it again, it might be a different car. But at the X amount of time, but that's wild. You know they watching.
Cut was in front of his house, nigga, on the Google map, nigga, throwing the hood up. I said, damn, this is crazy, girl. And Google Earth, they be finding some wild shit on Google Earth. Oh, yeah. Nigga. They be finding shit on accident. They be having to take that shit off the coordinates, nigga. So, oh, God. Like, niggas finding aliens and all kind of shit on Google Earth, nigga. It's different. But, yeah, y'all share, like, subscribe to the channel. Go watch Sinners if you ain't watched that. Then, after that, double back. Watch The Accountant 2. Two great movies. As we were just criticizing movies and films, two back-to-back home runs, 10 out of 10 for both. 10 out of 10. And neither one used a bunch of CGI or a bunch of explosives and all that. It was mainly about the acting, which what movies used to be. And that's why, in my opinion, they came out so great, because it was more focused on the plot, the acting, the schemes, the storyline, than it was special effects. So, right.
And Ben Affleck movie, shout out to him, because a lot of his movies be good movies.
Yeah.
The Far Away, man. We out of here.
Bang!
Yes, ain't no handouts, I did it from the ground up. In the streets, thuggin' hardest where they found us. Got a problem, nigga, watch my troopers mount up. My bitches bang too, and you a lame though. You niggas ain't outside, yeah, we came through. You want your lights so we put you on the shack.